Hello, this is Tony Heller from RealClimateScience.com, setting the record straight about science. I've been documenting fraud in climate science for a long time, and in this video I'm going to show you how no lie is too big for some scientists. In his farewell speech in 1961, President Eisenhower gave a stern warning. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite. I will refer back to this quote later on in the video, but first let's get to the big lie. Scientists are saying today that the coronavirus is at least as deadly as the 1918 flu pandemic. I've been studying the 1918 pandemic for many years, and I know that this claim has absolutely nothing to do with reality. Here's what CDC says about the 1918 H1N1 pandemic. It was the most severe pandemic in recent history. It is estimated that about 500 million people, or one-third of the world's population, became infected with this virus. The number of deaths was estimated to be at least 50 million worldwide, with about 675,000 deaths occurring in the United States. So the virus killed at least 10% of the people who got infected and at least 3% of the world's population. And even worse is the fact that most of the people killed in the 1918 pandemic were younger people, under 5 years old or 20 to 40 years old. This is quite different from COVID-19, where the average age of death is something like 80 years old. COVID-19 has killed less than 1/100th of a percent of the world's population. Compare that to the 1918 flu, which killed at least 3% of the world's population. We know that the 1918 flu was something like 300 times as deadly as COVID-19. Of course, there's still people dying from COVID-19, so that 300 number will come down some. Now let's look at the highest death rate countries from COVID-19. San Marino tops the list with 42 deaths and a death rate of 1,238 per million. That's a death rate of a little over 0.1%. Compare that to 3% from the 1918 flu. San Marino is not a good country to work with because they have a small number of deaths and a small population. Ratios of small numbers like that can be pretty deceptive. So let's look at number two, Belgium, with 851 deaths per million. Belgium has a death rate of less than 0.1%, and very few people in Belgium have been dying from COVID-19 over the past few months. It looks like they reached herd immunity in early June. So we can see that in the worst-case country for COVID-19, the death rate was less than 1/30th of the 1918 flu. Now let's look at the data for the whole world. This is the Northern Hemisphere spike from spring, and this is the Southern Hemisphere spike. It appears that the number of new cases has now leveled off and is starting to decline. And a similar story for COVID-19 deaths globally. They peaked back in April, came down for a while, then the Southern Hemisphere winter started and we've seen somewhat of a rise. Now that the number of new cases has leveled off, the death rate should also level off pretty soon. Now let's look at the United States. Dr. Fauci massively ramped up testing in June and July and created a hockey stick of new cases. Dr. Fauci predicted the United States would get up to 100,000 cases per day, but that didn't happen. Starting in the middle of July, the number of cases started to decline rather rapidly. These graphs show the number of new daily cases for all of the 50 states. Cases are declining in the vast majority of states, except for some states which tried to hide from the virus early on. By contrast, states which got hit hard early on, like New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut, appear to have achieved herd immunity. This is the herd immunity progress graph for the 50 United States. It's generally believed that between 10 and 20% is where herd immunity is achieved. You can see that states like New Jersey and New York are very high, and a lot of states are already over 10%. This is the graph of daily deaths in New York, which is very similar to the one we looked at from Belgium earlier. You can see that, like Belgium, New York appears to have achieved herd immunity quite a while ago. We can tell this because the virus is having a very difficult time finding people in New York to infect and to kill. Now let's look at Sweden, which also appears to be very close to herd immunity. They never locked down and they never mandated masks. Very few people in Sweden are dying from COVID-19 anymore, and their death rate was something like 1/100th of that of the 1918 pandemic. Now let's go back to the original big lie and read the bottom paragraph. The coronavirus is at least as deadly as the 1918 flu pandemic, and the death toll could be even worse if world leaders and public health officials fail to adequately contain it. Researchers warned in a study published Thursday in the medical journal JAMA Network Open. And then they have a picture of people being loaded into an ambulance on a stretcher in the 1918 pandemic. With a death rate over 3% in the 1918 pandemic, everybody knew at least one person who died, and many people knew lots of people who died. Now let's compare that to COVID-19, which has had very low death rates for people under the age of 65. And a large percentage of the deaths in the United States were in nursing homes where Democratic governors sent thousands of sick people and created mass carnage. So unless you know someone who died in a nursing home, it's unlikely that you know anyone who died from COVID-19. Obviously, this is going to vary from person to person, but I'm just citing the general statistics. Now I want to focus on the part of the big lie where they say that COVID-19 could be even more deadly than the 1918 pandemic if officials fail to adequately contain it. What they're talking about here is lockdown and mask rules. And if you remember back to March, the original lockdowns were the result of fraudulent projections of massive deaths and carnage. Those projections from March failed wildly, and here we are in August with the scientific community making these same fraudulent projections once again. Sweden and other places show that lockdowns and mask rules are completely unnecessary. So why do some members of the scientific community keep pushing for these unnecessary draconian measures? The claims being made in this article are utter nonsense, so the question becomes, how does this sort of garbage make it through peer review? And the answer is that the system is corrupt, just like in climate science. Somebody is paying parts of the scientific community a lot of money to push through this type of propaganda. Richard Horton is the editor of the medical journal The Lancet. He says, "The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analyses, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science has taken a turn towards darkness. As one participant put it, poor methods get results." And what is the agenda? It's to deceive the public and create panic. Let's look at one example of the sort of idiocy which is occurring as a result of this mass panic. The state of Wisconsin is requiring employees to wear a mask when they're teleconferencing from their home. Now there's a computer virus for you, one which can pass right through the internet. Eisenhower warned that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite. And that's exactly what's happened. Very wealthy people have bought off the scientific community and are now buying public policy through this sort of corruption. President and General Eisenhower was a brilliant man and had tremendous insight about the future. And Toto's job is to show people what's going on behind the curtain of junk science, propaganda, and the big lie. You can visit Toto on the web at realclimatescience.com.